I left my paper in my. Hand me one, please. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. There's a lot going on, so. All right, thank you. So for the order of my steps, I was talking to my sister, and every once in a while, Jesus would throw out a random parable or study or something for us to know. And this one concerning the wineskins, or the garment as some may call it, was a very important one to our walk in understanding the Old and the New Testament. The name of this one is Old Replaced by the New. Old Replaced by the New. And I named it Old Replaced by the New because I think we have to understand there is a difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Okay, the Old Testament was a path to get us to where we are in the New Testament. Some sometimes can preach the Old Testament as if it's what we're doing today, and it's not. Okay, in fact, the Old Testament was a physical rendition of what we should be doing spiritually now. Okay, we're going to first go over this parable or this statement that Jesus made. And then we'll go and see how the differences have come into play. First of all, the garment is the covenant or the wineskin, and the wine is the substance. So when he's using this, the image he's showing in this, he's saying there's two different ones. There's an older one and there's a newer one. Okay? And those represent the covenant or the thing that we're living in. And the substance is all, the wine consists of everything in it. Luke 5. 36 through 39 says, he told them this parable. No one tears a patch from a new garment and sews it on an old one. If he does, he will have torn the new garment, and a patch from the new will not match the old. So what he's saying here is, now if anybody knows about this, they were made out of a certain skin. And when you put wine in it, it would cure the wineskin and it would shrink. Okay, so the old one would already go through its shrinking state, right? So if you were to tear a patch off of something new and put it on something that already shrunk, when it shrinks, it would tear that old one because it would already, you know, it would be messed up in that sense. So that's what he's saying in this. And he's saying in the same way, when I try to force the old way on the new way, it will not work. Does everybody get this? Okay, the old was never meant to be forced on the new. Just like the new wasn't something that was trying to be thrown into the old. We're going to talk about this. Okay? It says, and no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins. The wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No new wine must be poured into new wineskins. And no one after drinking old wine wants the new, for he says the old is better. So he's basically saying, if I were to push the old, people are going to hold on to the old and not grasp on to the new. And that becomes a problem. Okay? So taking all this into consideration, let's look at the differences between the old and the new. And these are just a few of them. First of all, the old was replaced by the new on the cross. Colossians 2, 13 to 14 says, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, we're going to come back and talk about that, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations. Now, you go to the Old Testament, there was a lot of do's or don'ts with a lot of repercussions if you didn't. Does everybody get that? Okay, there was even some things up to death that if you didn't follow this, this is what would happen. He was saying those were canceled on the cross. That's why we don't do those things anymore. It's saying that was against us and stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. Now, what he meant when he said it was against us, because the law was given by God, the purpose of the law was to show us how sinful we were. Does everybody get that? Okay, he basically told man, okay, you can be righteous. Let me show you what righteousness is. Okay, let me put that out there for you, okay? And show you. There is a pattern when it comes to righteousness to where man tried to do it on his own. That's what the law did. Okay, so the law kind of gives a visual of, am I doing it on my own? And man failed. And that's why he says, when he shows this, it was against us and stood opposed to us. We can't do it without God. But the law was put there for me to say, okay, I can do it myself, and we failed. All right, so we were doomed for hell. Okay, but he said he nailed that on the cross because there was a reason for that. The old was a physical rendition of the new, which is spirituality in Christ. Colossians 2:16 through 17 says, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. Now, he put all that in there because, once again, these were significant in the Old Testament. Each one of these things, eating and drinking, what you ate, what you drank, how you did it, they had religious festivals that you had to go to, the holy days. There were seven of them that you had to go to. The Sabbath day. The true Sabbath was Friday into Saturday. Okay, it was Friday at sunset to Saturday at sunset. Okay, so we understand that. That's what it was. Now, we're going to show you where to change. But he's saying, don't let nobody judge you on that. And the reason why he was saying this is because the Jews, when they were going to the Gentiles, kept telling them, now you have to live this way. And he was like, no. That's not how it works. That's what he's explaining to them. We're not now doing the same customs anymore. Those things represented something. And that's what he says, what he means when he says in 17, these are a shadow of the things that were to come, the reality, everybody say reality, however, is found in Christ. What does he mean by that? He meant those physical things they did in the Old Testament were pointing towards what we do now spiritually. Okay? Those days are things that we're doing now spiritually. I have to do the holy days for y'all again because each of them represented something of what Christ is doing, and it all was based on Christ. Now, in the Old Testament, they didn't know of Christ. They knew of a Messiah that was coming, even though the Bible spoke of Christ. Okay? But he's saying, now that we have Christ, we have the reality, so now it's our responsibility to live in the reality. Let's look at the reality. First of all, Old Sabbath was the seventh day, or that Friday into Saturday. It's replaced by the new Sabbath, which is every day. Look what it says in Hebrews 4, 3 through 4. And it says, yet his work has been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words. And on the seventh day, God rested from all his work. So it's talking about the Sabbath. Now, incorrectly today, what's been happening is people will say, well, Sunday is our new Sabbath. Nowhere does the Bible say that. Okay, I know they'll reference the first day in certain cases, and sometimes you even hear them use the word Lord's Day, which is not talking about Sunday. That's a whole nother thing. And there wasn't a new Sabbath as this, that new day. Here's where it shows us what that new day is, what the new Sabbath is. In Hebrews 4, verse 7, it says, therefore, God again set a certain day, calling it what? Today. When a long time ago he spoke through David, as he said before, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Now, one thing we were told when you gave in the law concerning the Sabbath day is remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. Okay? Now, one thing that's different now is we as Christians spiritually understand we're supposed to be holy when? All the time. And it's not working and not doing stuff. That was a physical thing to kind of give a mindset to what we're supposed to be doing spiritually. And everything we do should be done based on God. Everything. And it should be done today. Tomorrow will be what? When we get to it. Today. Next year, when we get to it, will be what? Today. Do y'all see this? So we are in a Sabbath all the time. Okay? And how that rest and that spiritual walk and everything works for us as Christians, this is supposed to be an ongoing, all the time thing. But the lack of work that they did represents our spirituality. Now, does everybody get that? Okay, so that's showing the first thing. Another thing, circumcision, replaced by removing the sinful nature instead. Now, I'll read this and I'll explain the medical versus the spiritual. Colossians 2, 9 through 11. It says, for in Christ all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with circumcision done by the hands of men, but with circumcision done by Christ. So circumcision still happens. Now, spiritually, Israelite, the men had to be circumcised after they were born on the eighth day. There was a process and they had to go through the entire thing. If you go to the and the Jewish custom right now, they still follow that process. Now, if somebody medically wants to get circumcised, if you have a child and you get a medically circumcised, nothing wrong with that. If you still do it for spiritual reasons, then you missed it. Okay, once again, that's circumcision, which set them apart from all the other people or the Gentiles, is now done by us being, by Christ circumcising our sinful nature. Amen. Everybody has a human nature. Okay, so when you get saved, you are to die in order for Christ to live. Amen. So that's supposed to be tore off by Christ. That's why that understanding of I become a Christian, the me is gone, the he lives. Amen. See the spiritual now versus what was the Old Testament just gave a physical thing of we're there doing this thing to represent something to come. Now that something to come is here. So every Christian, if you accepted Christ, then you're getting the sinful nature or the human nature taken off. That's the flesh part that you want to do that you think instead of totally relying on Christ. That could be a sermon in itself. So something to take in and to think about. Also, under the old, only Israelites are accepted. In the new, all men are accepted. Let's read this, okay? In Acts 10:28, he said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean." Now, let me show you something. In the Old Testament, one thing you would hear a lot was to be fruitful and multiply. Correct? New Testament, how often do you hear that? Never. Okay, now, nothing wrong with having babies and all that stuff is good, but the reason why it was necessary in the Old Testament is the Israelites' way of building was within themselves. They had more Israelites. Do y'all get this? Because they were called God's people. And for them to associate or deal with the people outside, which were unclean, was a bad thing. Once again, a physical thing to show cleanliness today. For us today, we must encounter Gentiles, and we remember, we are Gentiles. We're not Jews. The definition of a Gentile is not a Jew. Okay, that's the way, if you want to know that, we are all Gentiles if you're not of the Jewish heritage. So we are to minister to them. So our multiplying comes from ministering. Go out and to minister to others and bring them in. Does that make sense? Cleanliness is much different now when you understand cleanliness in spirituality. All right. So what they were showing in a physical mean with people, we see it spiritually. That's why I cannot be unequally yoked. That's now talking about spiritually. You understand? It's let me understand that the things I go through are spiritual, while the things that the world goes through is of flesh and blood. Do y'all get this? Okay. So it gives us that understanding of our relationships now are now spiritual versus non-spiritual. Well, back then, it was the Israelites versus everybody else. And they were not allowed to associate with them because they were unclean. That's gone. Our uncleanliness is just an understanding of spiritual and unspiritual. Also, under the old, certain foods were unclean, while in the new, all food is clean. 1 Timothy 4:3-5. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods. From certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good and nothing is to be rejected if, everybody say if, it is received with thanksgiving because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. Now what he's saying here, and we see this in Romans 14, where if a person chooses not to eat something, that's once again your choice. If you say, I'd rather not eat these foods that were called unclean, amen. However, he's saying there is nothing based on God that is considered unclean anymore. Now, you'll get some people that will write these Christian books, and they'll go back to the Old Testament, and they'll call it a diet. There's the Daniel diet. There's the clean food diet. There's the know this diet, the know that diet. And they use things from the Old Testament, and all that's great, as long as you see it as a diet. It does absolutely nothing to you or for you spiritually. Do y'all get that? By all means, if you want to cut those out, Do it. Don't want to eat pork? Don't eat pork. Don't want to eat shrimp? Stay away from shrimp. All that stuff's great, but don't attribute it to, and it makes me more spiritually. And the reason why I'm stressing not to do that is because God said not to do that. Okay? A big part in here, as you've shown, all food should be received with thanksgiving. Now, where we've messed up today is we'll say, hey, somebody bless the food. Have you ever noticed that? And we'll say something over the food. And sometimes we miss in that blessing the food to thank him. And the key to when you pray over your food is thanking him for it. It's supposed to be received, as it says here, with thanksgiving. It says nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. Did y'all catch that? So I'm not blessing my food. My food is blessed when I give thanks for my food. Did y'all catch that? Amen. But once again, man added to it and man did something to it. And later on, we start calling it blessing. Somebody says something over your food and you think something magical happens because they said something without giving thanks. Thanks is a very important part. And then he says, once you give thanks, the magical thing that does happen is consecration. In other words, separation or cleanliness that comes from God's word through prayer. Amen? Okay, see the difference there. All right, cleanliness with food was still a thing to show the difference between clean and unclean. If you ever go through that process and look in Leviticus, I think it's 13, where it breaks down those clean and unclean foods which they had, the biggest thing was to show how close they were. You would see similarities. You can eat this, but don't eat this. If they chewed a cud, but they didn't have this. And it went through all this stuff that you had to know. And that's how dangerous it can be. Same thing with us today. Cleanliness sometimes can look very similar to uncleanliness. And you have to be alert and aware. But now we're spiritual and we understand that. And this is why you stay in the Word, to know the difference. It tells us why marriage has to be done a specific way, why we must raise our children a certain way. You don't just go, oh, God doesn't care. No, that's going to be the difference between clean and unclean. Amen? But it's spiritual today. The priesthood changed from the old to the new. Hebrews 7. If perfection could have been attained through the Levitical priesthood, for on the basis of the law was given to the people, why was there still another need for another priest to come? One in the order of Melchizedek. Now, once again, we can go into a whole study of what that means when it says in the order of Melchizedek. But in a nutshell, in the Old Testament, who Abraham gave his tithes to was a king of Salem, from the king of Salem, and a priest, and his name was Melchizedek. Now, the knowledge behind him was he came from nowhere. If you were to try to study his background, there was none. And in many cases, it points to him being Christ. Do y'all get this? Okay, so this king was Christ. Now, a lot of us are probably going to go over our heads, write a note to it, and we'll talk about it later. But the king, the point of this one is it's he came from not based off of blood, but he came off of what God is setting as a king forever. If you notice, this is one in the order of Melchizedek, not in the order of Aaron. Now, for those who don't know it, how the high priest was supposed to be set up, Aaron, his family had to be somebody from his family who was part of the Levitical tribe. Aaron was Moses' brother, and we understand that whole entire process, okay, in which God said all high priests had to be part of Aaron's line of family, okay? Not just priests, the high priest, because the high priest was the only one that was allowed in the Holy of Holies, okay, at one day every year. Whole nother sermon itself, but do you understand that? Okay, so he was the only one in, and it used to be Aaron, but Jesus was of the line of who? Anybody know? Judah. He came from the tribe of Judah, and that's what this explains. It goes on and says, not in the order of Aaron, for when there is a change of priesthood, there must also be a change of the law. Did y'all catch that? He of whom these things are said belonged to a different tribe, and no one from that tribe has ever served at the altar. For it is clear that our Lord descended from Judah. And in regard to that tribe, Moses said nothing about priests. And what we have said is even more clear if another priest like Melchizedek appears, one who has become a priest not on the basis of regulation as to his ancestry, in other words, not coming from Aaron, but on the basis of the power of an indestructible life. In other words, that he will not die. Did y'all catch that? Okay, and that's what it's showing. He, you know, Jesus is living forever. He died, but he rose again. So indestructible. He cannot be destroyed. So in this priesthood, he is our high priest. Now, I know sometimes y'all go into churches today And certain churches will have, you know, the building, the glass, and the way they set it up. And I understand what they're trying to do, but we don't have to do that anymore, okay? Because even within that, and we're going to talk about tabernacle soon, that whole structure represented something, just like the priest represented. Sometimes the priest tried to take on the role of being the high priest, and all we are is under shepherds. Does that make sense? Christ is the last high priest. Okay, and he's a perfect high priest. What the high priest had to do was he had to go into the Holy of Holies, first do a sacrifice for him, because he was a flawed human. Then he had to do sacrifice for the entire Israelites group, all the tribes. Okay, so he had to do one for them for it to be accepted to God as a covering of sin. What our high priest did is he went in and made the final perfect sacrifice. That wasn't just a covering, but a cleansing. Do y'all get this? A forgiveness of sins. Okay? So Jesus went into the true Holy of Holies in heaven, and he sacrificed himself. That's why he says, no man takes my life, but I laid it down. Okay? And he gave himself as a sacrifice for us. And after he gave that, now we have the opportunity to be completely cleansed. That's why we don't participate in sacrifices anymore. We don't have to, because the last perfect sacrifice was done. Do y'all get this? Everybody understand that, okay? So he went there and the cleansing was done. And this is why our buildings, the way the structure and all that is, doesn't matter because of what we see with the tabernacle. The tabernacle changed from old to new. Hebrews 9, 11 through 14 says, when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made. That is to say, not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of blood of goats and calves. He entered the most holy place once by all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. Now, the thing, reason why that's so important is because the person that sinned was man, so the main sacrifice should have been man. That's why for animals and stuff, it was just a covering when they did that, okay? It was just a Band-Aid to remind us, you do know you sinned. Do you understand that? While what he did was accepted our punishment for our sins. It says, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of heifers sprinkled on those who were ceremonially unclean sanctified them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from the acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God? Did y'all catch that? So he's basically saying, now what he did not only cleansed us outside, but it cleansed us inside and out, if we accept that. Do y'all get this? The perfect sacrifice of what he did to totally cleanse us. And then most importantly, sacrifices change from old to new. As we just read, Hebrews 9, 24 through 28, it says, for Christ did not enter a man-made sanctuary that was only a copy of the true one. Now, if you go back into Exodus and especially in Deuteronomy, he gives specific instructions on how the tabernacle had to be put together, exactly what they're supposed to use, and it was supposed to represent the true heavenly tabernacle. Does everybody get that? Okay, so now reason why we don't do that today, even though some people still try to follow that, is because it's already done. Now we go straight to the true tabernacle and we are that temple. Remember that Holy of Holies, right? Where the Holy Spirit would be, where God would set on, where the Ark of the Covenant was. That's where the Ark of the Covenant was, and then God would come down on that. Well, now he's in us as Christians. So we are the Holy of Holies. Do you understand? We are the temple. When we meet in a building, we just meet in a building. We are the church. You don't go to church. You go to church service. But you meet in a place. But the place itself is not holy. We are holy. Do y'all get this? Okay? All right, that building was made holy. That's why they had to sprinkle blood, and they had to watch what they do, and they had to tie a rope to the high priest, because if he went in and he messed up and he died, they had to pull him back out. Okay? All that was so sacred. You touch anything wrong, did anything wrong, you died. Now all that is spiritually us. Does everybody understand that? But it's still just as sacred. Okay? It's still just as sacred. Let me show you something. If you go to 1 Corinthians... Now let's go to, yeah, 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. And just we'll read verse 16 and 17. And it says in verse 16 of 1 Corinthians 3, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple? Did y'all catch that? And that God's Spirit lives in you. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple. And that destruction is talking about two major things, of course, sexual immorality and suicide. Did y'all see that? Okay, because we have no right now, once we are saved, you had no right before you were saved, but, you know, we were already headed in the wrong place. But in this place, now our bodies are sacred. Y'all see this? Okay, and so when this is very clear, and that's why it brings up sexual morality in so many spots, because that is a destruction of God's temple. I am God's temple. Now, it also includes some little things, how we treat our bodies, how we eat or not eat, how we drink or not drink, and so on and so forth. The stuff we do to our bodies, you're not doing to your body. You are not your own, okay? You are destroying his temple, and he made a promise here. You destroy his temple, you will be destroyed. Destruction always refers to hell. Keep that in mind, okay? We take it light today because we think we're Christians. Everything's good. It's my body. Do what I want with it. It's not how it works. Okay? This is sacred, and it belongs to him. Going back to the page, and it showed us that it says, only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Then Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world, but now he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by sacrifice of himself. Just as man is destined to die once and after that to face the judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting. It's a powerful thing of what he did for us. He died in our place. He was that sacrifice. He was that high priest. He was that temple, which made us that temple, which gave us access to eternal life, which gives us access to forgiveness. This is the thing we should wake up understanding. He gave us this gift of grace that we may have access to eternal life, which there was absolutely nothing we could have done to get it ourselves. These are just hints to how the old represented the spiritual parts of the new. I encourage you to talk about them, to go over them with one another. And you may even bring up, Pastor, can we go over this some more on specific topics? But these are interesting to know, but hopefully it gives you and shows you the difference between the two. Amen? All right. As the word says, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. We take this time out to talk to our Father, and hopefully in that we're giving him thanks for all that he has done for us and put us in the position that we're in. We asked if anybody would like somebody to pray with them, make sure you catch up to myself or one of the deacons, and we'd be more than glad to pray with you after services. And for those of you who's praying with your children, make sure you're doing it daily, and not only with them, but as an example to them. Prayer and meditation. Amen. All the glory to God. Hopefully we're praying continually, talking to our Father, giving Him thanks daily, continually.